Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Hello, everyone.
Hi. My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Irish Man.
The Irishman.
Attorney at law. Sure.
Who cares?
We're all
fucking 60 years from now, we're all dead.
Frank Sheeran. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you said it right.
Under the contract, management can only fire a driver on very specific charges. So, do you ever show up late?
No.
Do you have any moving violations?
No.
Do you drink on the job?
No.
Do you ever hit anybody?
On a job?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right, then. We don't have nothing to worry about.
Shit. So, there was some stuff coming out this weekend. Jumanji.
I think Jumanji's next weekend.
Oh, sure. I don't know.
I think this you is made coming a huge out. This fucking is, mistake.
Well, hold
Dave.
On. This is coming out next Monday, so mm-hmm. That's I don't know, man. The point is, there wasn't that much this weekend or anything that didn't need to be covered any more than this. This is on Netflix. We figured we'd get around to it because we both really wanted to see it. I don't know why I'm justifying seeing a new movie.
Well,
that everybody's talking about.
This weekend we have Dark Waters, The Aeronauts. Like, there really isn't much this weekend. Jumanji is totes next weekend.
Okay. Fine.
So.
Whatever. Tom, what did you think of The Irishman?
I liked it.
Me as well. I really liked it.
Also. In addition, I too as well. Also.
Yeah, this is... I hadn't really thought about this movie as it came up.
No, it was getting a lot of coverage and everything, mm-hmm. and you know, it's a Martin Scorsese film that's being released directly on Netflix with a crazy cast, and
it didn't really none of that really stuck in my mind until I sat down and watched it and was suddenly like, "Holy shit, this mm-hmm. is a Scorsese film. I love those." What's the last one he did? It wasn't Shutter Island. There's got to be something.
Oh, no, no.
Why? Fuck.
Silence?
Oh, I still have to see Silence. Fuck. I'm so excited about seeing Silence, you guys.
It's another long ass movie, but yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. This, and Wolf of Wall Street he did since The Departed.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, The Departed was the last one that was, like, felt like old school Scorsese. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, look at this fucking cast. Mm-hmm.
look at this fucking movie. Mm-hmm. You see it? You see this fucking movie? Good.
Yep. And so, fuck, man.
Yeah.
It's got De Niro. It's got Joe Pesci. For the first time in a very long time.
Well, he's retired.
Yeah. Last thing I saw him in was The Good Shepherd. He made a cameo in that.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I believe, directed by Matt Damon, right?
I think so. But yeah, Pesci had been retired for years.
Yeah.
And apparently Scorsese had to ask him multiple times to get him to agree to be in this film.
Yeah, I mean, it... Oh, it was directed by De Niro. Sorry, The Good Shepherd is directed by De Niro. Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm so glad he was in this film. And then you have fucking Al Pacino.
Al Pacino in a supporting role.
Is Al Pacino, I feel like I'm either missing an obvious one or this is legit. Has he not been in a Scorsese film?
Mm-mm.
Wow. This is like when Jack Nicholson was in The Departed. I was like, surely Jack Nicholson's been in a Scorsese film. And then I looked into it, and I was like, no, he hasn't. So there's something, I don't know, kind of amazing about that. Because people like De Niro and Al Pacino, they're kind of phoning it in a lot, I think, lately.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, cool, you get to that stage of your career, you're just like, fuck it.
And like The Departed, it was Scorsese showing up and being like, yeah, I'm going to act like I'm someone from your era who you respect. So it's great to see these actors giving it their all. And I got to say, I think Al Pacino did great as Hoffa.
Yeah, he's really fun. Like it's weird to call it a fun performance, but it is.
It is, and it's not fully Pacino.
He goes full Pacino in a couple of parts, but
he does. But it's has that loudness of Pacino, but it feels like not just watching Al Pacino. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it feels like he is playing a character.
Yeah.
Although it's still pretty close to his scent of a woman shtick, but
yeah, I mean, maybe it's just so slightly different and I'm used to Al Pacino just being Al Pacino that it was enough.
It is more of the muted Al Pacino than we've been used to seeing in recent films, for sure.
Yeah. So this is, it starts in a nursing home with a nice winter. And it's basically Robert De Niro playing Frank, just going through his life.
Yeah, it's him. I can't tell if it's a confession to us, to the priest that we see towards the end, or both / neither.
I think it's to us.
Yeah, it seems like that.
I don't know. At first, I assumed it was going to be his daughter.
Yeah.
But that, nope.
Nope, certainly it's not.
And it... That's all I thought it was going to be, is like, okay, this is a, journey through this guy's life as a hitman, as like kind of just a tough guy.
Yeah.
And then it becomes something different that I did not expect.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't paid attention to the making of this movie because I was just like, you know, all the press that was coming out about this movie. I was just like, well, I'm going to watch it when it comes on. So I'm not really, you know, all I need to know is that it's Scorsese, it's a mob movie, and it's got these guys in it. Fine. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know until like a week or two ago that it was about Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know going into it. When Jimmy Hoffa showed up, I was like, oh, cool. A nice Al Pacino cameo is Jimmy Hoffa. Like, I didn't even think about Al Pacino being in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just stays in the film, and it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what this is about.
Yeah.
Like,
this is Scorsese's version of the murder of Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, and it's based on a book called... So They Tell Me You Paint Houses, I think is what the name of the book is called.
Right, but it's a title in this.
Yeah, yes. And that book is based on testimony and... This isn't just like Scorsese being like, well, what if it was this? This is a theory.
Oh, okay.
That Frank Sheeran was directly involved in Jimmy Hoffa's murder.
Okay, that checks out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so it starts with him as a delivery truck driver. Well, it starts with there are how many different ages in this? Four?
Three or four.
De Niro himself is like four. There's old ass De Niro. Then there's old De Niro, then there's like middle-aged De Niro, and then there's young De Niro in the war.
Now, we need to stop and talk about this for a second.
Okay.
The de-aging effects in this movie are not great.
Yeah, I would say when they bring him back to like his 20s in the war, I was like, like... Too much.
Middle-aged De Niro looked all right because I was like, oh, this kind of looks like what De Niro looked like in like Ronin.
Yeah.
The problem is, and it's a problem you can see a little bit in Captain Marvel as well with Samuel Jackson, is that they don't move like young men.
I was about to say the same thing. When De Niro goes to kick that guy's ass, they have a few times when De Niro gets physical with people. And you can tell, it reminds me of Clint Eastwood when he was doing like still like action movies.
Yeah.
And they would have to sort of cut around the fact that he couldn't move fast.
Yeah, that he can't fucking move.
Yeah, it's that. It's he moves like an old man.
Right. He moves like a brittle scarecrow.
Yes.
At every age. And that's, it works more for, it works better for Joe Pesci, because Joe Pesci's not, he doesn't really...
He's never young in it.
he's never young, and he's also he's never very mobile. This is a an interesting role for Joe Pesci because he's not explosive or hot tempered. He's very even. He's like the wise old man, and he's very quiet in the movie. Like he's a this is I think the most subdued I've ever seen Joe Pesci in a movie.
He's subdued in The Good Shepherd as well, but I think it's just because he's he's old.
And Pacino is only de-aged maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
But he, I think he pulls it off a little bit better. Like he,
he
moves more, he's able to like move more like he's supposed to be middle-aged rather than, I think he's in his mid to late 70s now.
Yeah, De Niro is the one who has to do all the work because I also think it's more noticeable because like, for example, there's, all right, so De Niro's daughter, some guy at the grocery market down the street shoves her. And so De Niro brings her down to the grocery store and drags the guy out and basically beats the crap out of him in the street and steps on his hand. And in a Scorsese fashion, it's a one-er. It's stationary one-er of this happening. And so...
And pulled back a little ways.
Yes. And so you see his body language.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't do... all I could think they could do is use a body double and then put De Niro's face on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they were like, no, De Niro can do it. So it is jarring because that was the moment I noticed like, oh, he's moving like an old guy.
Oh, that's the moment you noticed? I noticed it immediately when he gets out of his delivery truck and is talking to Joe Pesci.
Oh,
he can barely walk.
Yeah, I guess at that point, I think why I didn't notice at that point, also when he's in the war, when he's like 20, I noticed as well. It's because
he doesn't have to move much, but yeah.
Yeah, it's because I was okay the way like De Niro as a character, I could see him as being kind of lumbering in those scenes.
Yeah.
It was the moment he had to fucking fight. But the character is lazy. Like the way he kills people is lazy and I love it.
Oh, it's not even that it's lazy. It's just like
it's efficient.
Yeah, it's such a fucking... He just walks up to people and shoots them.
Yeah, like it's like a smart way.
Yeah.
I feel like 60% of his assassinations are just in front of people's apartments, walking by them and going like, hey, how's it going? Blam, blam! And just keep walking.
The best way to describe it is he's shanking people with a gun.
Yes. He's real casual about it.
He real quick and then he just keeps walking and he throws his gun into the river.
And that has a big effect on the ending where, spoilers, he shoots Hoffa.
He does, yeah.
And he does it like any other fucking hit. And I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
They bring him into his house. They trick his son, who is played by
Jesse Plemons. Yeah.
Which, that's one of my favorite treats of a Scorsese film, is seeing like young actors in these scenes. Because you know Jesse Plemons is sitting there and he just like in between takes goes into the bathroom and just goes, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Right.
Because he's working with like Al Pacino, De Niro in a Scorsese film.
Right. He's driving a car. That has it's a very fun conversation scene.
Yeah.
He's driving a car with De Niro and Pacino in the back seat.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Driving those two around while they bitch about fish.
There's a lot of improv in this movie. From what I understand. Another thing I wanted to say, now that we've talked about sort of the de-aging effect. Also, I think another aspect of that is De Niro is wearing lifts in a lot of scenes, so that might affect how he's walking.
Yeah, because Pesci's supposed to be real short, I guess. Like, oh, no, Hoffa's supposed to be short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think he and De Niro are the same height.
Yeah.
I'm not positive, though. But anyway.
Yeah, so he's walked like Frankenstein.
Right. I have seen a behind-the-scenes photo of him filming a scene wearing the lifts, and they are literally Frankenstein boots.
Yeah, they're huge.
It's very funny looking.
I like the attention to detail, but it's like I would have never known Hoffa's short.
Yeah, like that doesn't really matter. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you don't make him a basketball player, but it doesn't matter that like De Niro needs to be like a head taller than him. Anyway,
it was important to Scorsese.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted to point out that a lot of this movie is just dudes talking, but they're such good actors and like the conversations are so natural and like this movie's weirdly funny.
Yeah. Well, that's I know what you're talking about, because when I started this movie, an hour in, I was like, this is kind of slow, isn't it? But I didn't really notice. I had to remove myself from the film and go, oh, I'm watching a slow film. As opposed to, I just have to mention, I also watched The Report recently, which is the Kylo Ren torture. And that's a very fascinating film. It's very important. They could not make it interesting.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
It's a lot of people talking and sitting in offices, and they have to show the tortures, and it's like, well, this is just upsetting. So it's a combination between upsetting and boring, compared to this, which is also just a lot of talking, but they have so much personality.
Yeah. It's the actors. I think. And it's just this movie's 3.5 hours long. Marina and I sat down to watch it at 9:45 on Sunday, and we're like, all right, well, we'll watch we'll maybe watch the first hour and a half or so. And we watched the whole fucking thing. And I never looked at my clock.
Same here.
We just sat there and watched the entire movie. We're like, this is really good.
Yeah, it's great. I sometimes try to take notes and stuff for the podcast, and it's like, no, none of that. I just was glued to the screen. I don't know. De Niro is fucking killing it in this.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean,
Pacino's
they all are
really good. Yeah, they're all really good. What's his name? I think his name is Nuts. I can't remember his name. It's the guy who plays Tommy in Snatch.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Graham, I think, might be his name.
Yeah, I really liked seeing him in this.
He's great in it. And he has a scene where he sits down with Pacino and De Niro, and I read somewhere that originally in the scene De Niro wasn't supposed to speak, and he was, and Tommy from Snatch was thinking to him, so he's like, I'm in a scene with De Niro and he doesn't say anything, so he throws an improv line at him. It's the line about when they're arguing over how long it's appropriate to wait for somebody who's late before you leave,
right?
And then that's when De Niro comes back with a 12.5 minutes. None of that was scripted originally. He's I gotta be in a scene with De Niro and have him actually speak to me. So he just said that to him. From what I've read. I don't know if that's true.
Scorsese improv is interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it's not it's not fucking Judd Apatow improv. It's just conversational. I think of the scene in Goodfellas where it's Scorsese's mom playing, I believe, Joe Pesci's
mom,
and she painted the picture, and that was an improv, where they just sort of sat around and chatted. And that sounds like it could be disastrous, these old actors just sitting around shooting the shit. But there's just something oddly, I don't know, fascinating about what they choose to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the combination of the fact, when they're going off about the fish.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what they're going to be doing. And yes. I think that's what makes it work so well.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, I remember in The Sopranos, there's a great scene where the FBI just walks up to Tony Soprano and they're like, hey, Tony, we got a new guy. We wanted to introduce ourselves. And they just do a meet and greet with the guys who they know are going to be trying to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yeah, we all know.
We know what the game
role
is here.
Yeah, we know what role we're all playing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to meet you. I'm a new guy. It's so weird. But it's of course it would be that casual. Why wouldn't it be? They're at work.
Yeah. And it also with the idea specifically in the fish scene where they're talking about they're wondering why the seat's wet when Jesse Plemons is driving them to go pick up Jimmy Hoffa. That reminded me a lot of leave the gun, take the cannoli scene in The Godfather, because it is this sort of they're just running these boring errands, but you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's the sort of mundanity. The mundane nature of the conversation coupled with the very intense, scary business that they're engaged in.
It's like watching somebody on death row going to the chair,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that these are their final moments, and they're just kind of, those moments are rushing along, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. It's inevitable. There's mm-hmm. an inevitability to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
one of the people doesn't know in that scene. So you're watching and you have this natural feeling of dread because they're pushing towards a thing. And you know that it's there's no compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And you also know that it's not an action movie. Al Pacino can't, you know, get into a fist fight and save himself. De Niro can't suddenly save Al Pacino. It, as they put in it, don't they say it is what it is?
It is what it is, yeah.
It is what it is. Like, it's just such a good line. There's nothing he can do about it.
Yeah.
And there's that scene that remind that, like, where De Niro, they're driving up to go to this wedding, which is to Ray Romano's wedding. So,
it's Ray Romano's daughter. Like, Ray Romano plays Joe Pesci's cousin, who's a big union lawyer. That yeah. like, he's a mob lawyer. That's
he's
been
fantastic
helping him.
In this.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, yeah. In these scenes.
And that's when De Niro learns, like, oh, they're gonna kill him. There's mm-hmm. nothing you can do. And then they're like, you have to get on a plane to Detroit. And like the realization, he has to do it.
Yeah.
And he gets on the plane, and there's the part where he's just sitting in this plane, and there's no going back. It's again that feeling of it's I think about another weird comparison in the movie Final Destination, when he gets on the plane and he's nervous, and then it just starts to go, and you know, like, okay, no turning back. Mm-hmm. It's whatever happens is inevitable right now. And it's that again with the plane, where it's like he's on the plane, it's moving. He can't get out of this. Like, and you know he doesn't want to.
Right, yeah, it's they establish through the film that, like, he and Jimmy Hoffa are very close friends, their mm-hmm. families are friends, like, he's, like, essentially an uncle to his daughter,
yeah,
who he has trouble having a relationship with, so it's like, he's, like, yeah. this beloved figure in De Niro's family, and he has to go kill him.
Yeah, he's the only one his daughter
nothing
likes.
Nothing he can do about it.
Yeah. I heard something about the fact that Anna Paquin has very little lines in this. Mm-hmm. I didn't see what the coverage was, but watching it makes sense because she's pissed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The whole point is she doesn't talk to him because she hates him.
Right. As a little girl, she's afraid of him. She's scared of him. She's scared of Joe Pesci. And then as she gets older and she realizes, you know, the full scope of what he is, like, she just hates him.
Yeah.
And, like, so yeah, some of the only things she says is after they get the news that Jimmy Hoffa's disappeared, like, she's staring right at him. And she says, his wife asks De Niro, like, have you called Joe, Hoffa's wife, yet? And he's like, no, I haven't called her yet. Oh. And then Anna Paquin was staring at him from across the room, and she says, why?
Yeah.
And he's like, huh? She says, why? Why?
Yeah, and then I think she specifies, why didn't you call her?
Yeah. And then, yeah, she asks why flat out, like, twice. And he's, like, stumbling through it. And then she says, why didn't you call her? But, like, we know that she knows.
Yeah, like, she knows exactly what happened.
She knows what he did. Yeah. Yeah, the coverage of it was, Scorsese gets a lot of, Scorsese's not terribly good with women. Like, there's usually not many meaningful characters in his women characters in his movies.
Yes. And there isn't in this movie.
No.
Like, I get her character, it's like, that makes sense, but there's other women in this movie that also don't get many lines. Like, it's not
right.
It is a
it's
problem.
Just yeah, it's a problem. It's just I they're think, always
what's
it's
the
always
best?
The wives.
Yeah. Which I get
what's
for mobster movies because, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking, what's her name in...
Probably Juliet Lewis in Cape Fear.
Cape Fear. I was also thinking Goodfellas.
Karen.
Yeah, the wife who is the psychiatrist in The Sopranos. She's killing it in that movie.
Lorraine Bracco. Damn
yeah,
it, I couldn't think of her name for a second.
I like that. That's especially because they switch to her narration. Like, her explaining why she's into...
Well, the movie... Yeah, the movie is actually... Portions of the film are actually told from her point of view. She's closer to, like... Yeah.
I appreciated
portions of the film are actually told from her point of view, yeah.
He does... he'll do that thing where... Because it's the... Like, the mob wife trope is very interesting because they usually know what their husbands do. They can't hide it.
They're usually kind of Lady Macbeth. Sort of like... like Laura Linney in Mystic River.
Yeah, but hers is like a reveal where you realize oh, she's worse than him.
And she's quite literally Lady Macbeth.
Yeah.
in a Mystic River.
Jesus, Laura Linney.
Yeah.
It would be nice. I would love to see Scorsese to make a movie from that perspective.
Yeah.
Only. But he loves, I don't know, he loves showing
he loves
the whole.
He loves his dudes. I don't know.
Yeah, and it also doesn't, this movie, a lot of his movies, they don't, it's not crime paying. It's never that. Like, this movie ends with, it's such a good scene with De Niro being the FBI, I believe, are talking to him, and he's an old man. Mm-hmm. And they're asking him about Jimmy Hoffa, and he's like, you'd have to talk to my attorney. And they're like, your attorney's been dead. Everybody's dead but you.
Everyone is dead.
Yeah, they're like, this isn't about, like, catching anybody. This, we just want to know what happened. And I loved that because it's like almost oddly nostalgic and like in a depressing way where it's like, it's over, man. Like, it's just you. You're the only one left. You're just in this World War II veterans house.
Yeah.
Nursing home. And you have nobody. Like, because that's the life you chose. And at the very end, it's the last shot is he talks to the priest and he asks the priest to leave the door open a little bit. And then the last shot is him with the door open a little bit, just like wanting somebody, just like leaving that door open for somebody. Mm-hmm.
For somebody, and fucking nobody's going to come.
Yeah.
He is utterly alone in this rest home. Yeah.
It is brutal. And I was going to say, that's Scorsese. Like, the one thing, he doesn't make movies where it's like, oh, and he got away. Isn't it cool? Like, the most is Goodfellas, where he's like, I snitched on everyone. And ran away like a coward.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's never glamorous.
Yeah.
That's part of it. It's like I think that's why Scorsese gets away with these types of movies for so long, is that, like, the murders in him are quick and brutal and unceremonious.
Yeah.
Like, when he kills Hoffa, it's basically they go into the house that his son brought him to. Hoffa looks around, the house is empty, and he says, let's get out of here. Turns around, and De Niro shoots him in the back of the head.
Yep.
Right at the door.
Just immediately.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, we don't get, like, a hero shot or anything. It's just the same static shot, and Pacino just kind of goes like, oh!
Yep.
Like, he's just, like, you know, this last little, like, burp. It's, like, so, like you said, unceremonious, undignified. Like, they don't, there's no, like, melodramatic music swell. It's just
he's
so
just another,
like,
guy.
Yeah, like
he goes out like a henchman. It's the same with The Departed. You know, all the death in that is just like blam. It's done. And I don't know. There's it's so much more.
I think The Departed's a little more operatic than this, though.
Yeah, The Departed, because there's so many.
Yeah,
and that scene where it's like it keeps happening one after another. But like DiCaprio, spoilers for The Departed. I guess DiCaprio's death is just like, you don't see it coming. It's so sudden. And I guess, yeah, that does make it dramatic, but it's the suddenness. Like, yeah, like you're saying, no music, no, like, that's what makes it dramatic, is the fact that it's so unceremonious. It works just very well. And I think this one was extremely good for that reason. I'm wondering what they told his son. Cause they say the son, what didn't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like they drove off quickly with him, but like, he's going to know his dad went missing, and then he's going to be like, hey, wait a second. I assume he's like in it all as well, and like knew, like, oh, there's nothing I can do now. No need to.
I don't know. Yeah. I think in the, De Niro says in the movie that he didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. And The Sopranos did this as well, is when people were killed, their loved ones would have to just sort of accept it. Because it's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to become a vigilante? You're going to become the Punisher? No, you're in this. Like, this is your life. These are your friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume he must have realized it after the fact, but...
Yeah. And then had to accept it. Was just like, yeah,
there's nothing. I think he just thought he was driving his dad to a meeting.
Yeah. What a great film.
Yeah, it's a really good film.
Joe Pesci, they make him... Oh, man, Joe Pesci is in the prison... Where he's all old.
Yeah, and they all go back. They all go to jail for Hoffa's murder, by the way.
Oh, I mean, or for other things, but like.
It's the FBI comes down on them, and they can't connect any of them to the murder or what they believe is a murder, because Hoffa is still classified as a disappearance. He was declared dead in absentia. But they find them all, they convict them all for like different crimes and give them like the maximum sentence.
Yeah.
Like De Niro gets 18 years for,
Well, it's funny because he says a couple things and he goes, and some other junk I don't remember, and they freeze frame
like,
it,
yeah,
and
murder,
it's like murder, assault. It's like all these horrible crimes. They do the use of text in this, because again, it's about consequences. It's about,
yeah, I think they keep. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just because Scorsese's an old man now,
so
he probably thinks about this more. Of like, these people get old. The ones that don't die, they get old, and what happens to them? And like, it's the same as anything else. That's like when he learns that Ray Romano died. They go, he died, and he goes, oh, who? Who did it? Like something like that, and they're like, cancer did it. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't a hit, you old mobster.
It wasn't a hit. He's just like fucking 78 years old. He smoked cigarettes his whole life. Like,
yeah. But they freeze frame on the characters that get shot. Like they tell us how they died later, which I really liked. And the deaths are always shot in the face 8 times in a parking lot.
Right. They're always so over the top, like shot 5 times in the head in his driveway. It's like, good God.
Blew up by a bomb on his porch.
A nail bomb on his porch. That was that one guy. And it's always, they do it in these scenes where it's like they're going into a meet and they're all like, hey, you know, they're all being like jovial and like sitting at a fancy restaurant table or like sitting at a country club, and then it'll freeze frame briefly and just slap the text on top of the character like, this guy's horribly murdered in about 6 years.
Yeah.
Except there's one character that they freeze framed on and was like, very well liked by everyone, died of old age.
Yeah, I like that as well. The one guy who got out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Scorsese, I think he's always been about consequences, but this was the most consequence-filled movie, I felt.
I think because it might be the only one that's told from the perspective of a very old man.
Yeah, that's true. So it's all like, in
retrospect. It's all about... You know, because you pointed out, he's an old man. All of his old Goodfellas buddies are old men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like he's thinking about his own mortality a lot. So he's looking at it from that.
And about legacy and stuff like that.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
They do the part where he's in the nursing home and the nurse sees the picture of his daughter with Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's Jimmy Hoffa. And she's like, who? And that was perfect. Like,
well, at first she says, oh.
Oh, right, right, right. And
then he's like,
of,
you don't know who Jimmy Hoffa is, do you?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't.
And he's not mean about it. That's the other thing is when he's old, he's like, he's trying. He's like, that's what makes it great is he's trying to connect. He's burned all his bridges and he's a friendly old man.
Yeah, he's fucked up for so long that it's
like nothing really like that. Oh, that's Hoffa. And it's like, who gives a shit, man? Like, it wasn't for anything.
No, and it's like...
He's a footnote.
Yeah, exactly. It's been, 50 years since Jimmy Hoffa disappeared.
Yep.
Just about. So it's like... And like, watching it with Marina, who's, several years younger than me, like, we had to, she didn't know who the Teamsters were. She didn't know who Hoffa was. And so, I started trying to explain it, and then I realized, I really only know the broad strokes of what this is.
That's the thing.
So I had to sit there and, look it up and be like, oh, okay, this is what he was. Like, I knew he was a union leader, and I knew Teamsters was the union, and it was mob connections because it's shipping and everything.
I had the same thing.
I didn't know the particulars of it. I was like, oh, shit, I guess I don't really know that much about this.
I didn't know about the presidential pardon of Nixon. Nope. I didn't know when he had died or disappeared. So that was interesting because I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't, I purposefully didn't look it up because I was like, oh, it could happen anytime. I'm not going to look it up. And it was way later than I thought. He was way older than I thought, when he disappeared.
Yeah.
Like all the stuff where they're driving, which is like the mid future. I figured he had already been killed at that point.
Same.
Yeah. And then when they reveal, we're going to see Jimmy, I was like, wait, what? Look at that old bastard. He made it that long?
Yeah, he's old as fuck.
All the Kennedy stuff. The scene where fucking where they learn that Kennedy was shot and Hoffa just sitting there.
He sits back down and continues eating his pie.
Oh, it's so good.
Or his ice cream. His ice cream.
He loved the ice cream.
And then he goes up on the roof of the Teamsters Union headquarters and makes them put the flag back at full mast.
Oh, that's terrific. I love that
Kennedy so much.
That tension, because of course Joe Pesci and the Italian mob like love Kennedy.
Well, they liked Joe.
Oh, right. The idea because of the Cuba stuff, because of Castro.
Right. Joe had a lot of ties there. I think Joe was also a Nazi apologist, but that's neither here nor there.
That checks out.
He was a fan of appeasement. As far as Hitler was concerned, which is kind of the same thing. Anyway, he had ties with them because Joe Kennedy used to be a bootlegger. So they helped get John F. Kennedy elected with the hope and understanding that Kennedy would, you know, take care of Castro, who had, you see it in The Godfather 2, I think, where they all have to get the fuck out of Cuba because the revolution's happening. Right. But they used to have a lot of like casinos and shit in Cuba, and now they can't do that anymore. So like, oh, well, we get Joe's son elected. He'll help us get that stuff back. And then, of course, the Bay of Pigs happens.
Right.
And we actually see De Niro like deliver some weapons to a CIA agent.
I love that was so perfect for his character.
Yeah.
Because they tell him like, we need you to drive down to Florida. And he's just like, okay. And then he drives down, he like stops to get a bunch of guns, doesn't ask any questions.
Yeah, he has no idea what it is.
Yeah, drives down to Florida and like hands the truck off to this guy who's very sensitive about his ears.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're looking at my ears, aren't you? And he's like, I'm not looking at your ears. He's like, good, because I got surgery.
Right, like, it was a funny bit because Pesci tells him you're going to meet a guy with big ears named Hubert or whatever his name was.
Right, yeah.
And he gets there and we're looking at him and De Niro's looking at him and then Marina says to me, it's like, I don't get it. Like, his ears aren't big. Is this supposed to be a joke? And then, of course, it is a joke.
Yeah.
So it's like we're right there with De Niro staring at this guy's ears. Like, you looking at my ears? Because there's no reason to look at my ears anymore. I got surgery.
Right. But then later, they're watching fucking Congress on the TV, and he's there. And De Niro's just like, oh, it's Big Ears. And again, he doesn't think anything of it. He's just like...
Well, right. as he's driving away from the handoff, he sees the guys loading an M60 and a rocket launcher into the other truck. He's just like, okay, I guess there were guns in that truck.
Yeah. Because like, that's what he is. He's a fucking henchman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a...
He doesn't ask questions. He just
is a ride or die henchman.
Yeah,
he does really not is. Care.
And that's well, what it. That's what it all fucking culminates to is the idea that he has to kill his friend now,
And completely alienate his family.
Yeah, and he does it.
Yep.
And you like you know, because it's Jimmy Hoffa. Unless Scorsese is going to lose his mind. And like De Niro kills everybody else and goes, hide, Hoffa, hide. You know,
unless he's going to Tarantino it.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's going to happen. So it's tragic. Mm-hmm. Even though none of them are good people.
No.
It's more feeling for when he calls the wife and he's sitting there telling her everything's going to be all right and he'll be back, knowing that he killed him.
Yeah.
And you could tell it's tearing him up. And then when he's old, he says, what kind of guy makes a call like that to the priest?
Yeah, and the priest doesn't know what he means.
Yeah, but we do.
We sure as hell do.
Because it's a movie.
I also like that they show like the two guys just taking Hoffa's body, they throw it in a box, and they throw it in an incinerator, and then it cuts to De Niro, and he's just like, it was as simple as that.
Yeah, I like that too, because of course it was.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The idea of what's, you know, they never found his body. It's like,
oh, where's Jimmy Hoffa? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They either burned him or fucking, I don't know, crushed him in a car, threw him in the ocean. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any number of ways they disappear people.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Or they take him out into the Pine Barrens and get lost like that Sopranos episode. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I've seen that episode.
Oh, okay, such a good episode.
Yeah.
Remember when it's a sort of off subject. Remember when Geraldo opened Al Capone's vault, and
sure
there was nothing in it, and he looked like a big asshole.
There was not a motherfucking thing inside that vault.
What an asshole.
That started his career. He has a career because of that.
What an asshole.
Well, that, and he did a big expose on, sanitariums for children, I think. It was a big scandal that was actually like a legitimate piece of journalism. And it's like the only legitimate piece of journalism he's ever done.
Say, so he's got the one. He was asked to leave Iraq when he gave away the troops' position. What an asshole.
What a stupid dickhead.
What a complete asshole. He's still in the news. People still listen to things he says. And it's like, why is anybody listening to you?
He had the one thing 38 years ago.
You spent hours opening Al Capone's vault and there was nothing in it, you asshole. I remember that.
Not even a dead rat, fucking piece of shit.
It was barren. It was completely empty. It was like someone went in ahead of time and scrubbed it clean.
Right. It was like a gag. It was like an Ocean's film.
Yeah, it was. Oh, Geraldo, you fucking asshole.
Oh, man.
Yeah. God, who else was in this film? There was a lot of good people.
There's a comedian named Sebastian Maniscalco. He briefly showed up.
Is that the comedian scene?
Which no,
was very that, fucking Goodfellas.
Yeah, that was super Goodfellas. No, Sebastian Maniscalco played Crazy Joe.
Oh, okay.
The guy he kills in the pizzeria, I guess, with his family.
Right, yeah. Oh. Yeah, all the times he's like watching the news or reading the newspaper about the thing he just did, and his daughter's staring at him. Like, again, they set it all up. They set a lot. They do this thing where Joe Pesci creeps out the daughter.
She's scared of him.
Yeah, and she loves fucking Hoffa, and it sets up that weird, like Jimmy Hoffa, she thought of as a legitimately good guy because he was fighting for the workers, or at least...
And of course, he is very charismatic and, you know.
And so, yeah, and the idea that, it's sort of Joe Pesci that, you know, she kind of makes him... You know, they don't tell him until it's too late what's happening.
Yes. Yeah, it's like the day of he's supposed to go drive up and meet Hoffa for this meeting, and he's like, we're not going.
Yeah.
You're going to fly up, but we're not going.
Yeah. And so there's that just weird triangle between the daughter and these two guys, and then the one she likes dies, and she keeps seeing these horrible murders in the news that she just knows is him.
Yep.
Yeah. And it all kind of culminates, and then establishing him as this henchman. It's a very good movie because it is a lot of talking sprinkled with these occasional bursts of violence.
Mm-hmm.
But it all serves this one thing, like this building tension between a man having to shoot his friend.
Yep.
And the man doing it, because that's just who he is. That's just what he's been trained to do, conditioned. And then that exploding, but again, not even exploding in a dramatic way, just like his family is done with him.
Right. That scene where she asks him, why didn't you call his wife? Like after that, his narration comes in and he says, I lost my daughter that day. She never spoke to me again.
Yeah.
And then it's so understated, but it's like, that's it.
And then when he's older, they go to the funeral and she's just like, she's there, but she's not talking to him. He goes to the bank and she walks away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't feel bad for him because
you feel a little bad for him, but he's walking in there on two canes. Like,
well, because they also do a good job at making you understand where he's coming from. Again, he is a murderer. Like he is a sociopath. But they start it by establishing him as a soldier. And even when he's a soldier, he's a sociopath. But it's
he does some fucked up shit, yeah.
But a lot of people did fucked up shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you, like, it is, because he's like, he talks about how he makes them dig their graves. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it's so weird that they did that. Like, I was going to let them go if they did a good job.
Right, he's like, it's weird that they kept digging.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what they imagined was going to happen.
Right, and that's not everybody who fought in a war did shit like that. But you hear stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it still established him right away as like, oh, he's a real sicko. Like just from sequence, the lack of remorse when he's going to shoot them and stuff.
Right. It, more than establishing that he's a sicko, it establishes that he's crossed that line already.
Yes, and that,
so it's like he can kill people very easily.
Right, and they talk about him like a soldier. They compare him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say like you know this stuff. You were in the war, so he thinks of it that way. He's kind of never left that mentality, and so it's just about a guy doing what he's told to support his family and not really thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just it's so good.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I really like this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. People should check it out.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's on Netflix. It's 3.5 hours long. If you have the time, definitely I would suggest watching it all in one sitting, but it breaks up easily enough because it is this story about a guy's entire life pretty much. So
yeah. But these days, I think it's never been a better time for fucking epics. Because if you can binge watch The Mandalorian, you can watch this movie, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like, think of it as binge watching a miniseries.
That's yeah, kind of.
Yeah. There's no breaking point. It's a whole movie, but I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. Find the time. Find a nice Sunday afternoon. Gather the kids.
Oh, yeah. Get the kids... Why make the kids watch this movie. Mm-hmm. It's a very important lesson that they need to learn.
Yeah.
About life.
And about history.
About the Teamsters Union.
Yeah. And about, I don't know, the fucking, what's his name?
Jimmy Hoffa?
Nixon.
And Nixon. And the Kennedys. The Kennedys' involvement with organized crime.
It's got everything. It's got politics. It's got Robert De Niro slowly murdering people.
Yeah. Shambling around like a fucking... brittle-ass skeleton.
It's funny. I did notice it less than you because I was just... That's the other thing. Is the de-aging, I don't know. Yeah, he's younger, but Robert De Niro is one of those guys who always felt old to me. And they did... You know what I thought was interesting is Joe Pesci, who's probably the same age as De Niro,
mm-hmm.
they make him older than him because they realized they just could. Like, they could... They can... If they're in a de-age, it's like, fuck it. Let's make... Because they call him old man.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't have to call Joe Pesci old man. He might be younger than you, De Niro.
It was that first scene where it's like they pull over, he's driving his truck and Pesci comes and helps him fix his truck and Pesci keeps calling him kid.
Yeah.
Like I was laughing my ass off. Yeah. It's like, he's not a kid.
It's so silly.
He's a fucking 78-year-old man.
They should put digital paint
on his face.
They should make him a 7-year-old. I want to see a 7-year-old boy.
Yeah.
De Niro walking like an old man around playing stickball.
Yeah.
Just jogging those bases, huffing and puffing.
With a big lollipop.
Yeah, big lollipop. I wanted to talk about just Pesci in the jail. That was also...
Oh, Pesci in jail was awesome.
Just like he goes out with a whisper. Like they wheel him off. And that's the thing where he's like, I'm going to church. And he's like, why? And he doesn't realize what Joe Pesci already knows, which is what De Niro does at the end, is he goes to church. Because it's the realization that like, I'm hitting death, and I've never thought about like the idea of hell until right now.
Or even just not even that, just like having no comfort.
Yeah. Having no one to tell you it's going to be all right. Or like, and he says like, what, I forget what the line is. He's like, he went to church and then he went to the prison hospital.
Then he went to the infirmary and then he went to the graveyard.
Yeah. And that's it. That's it for Joe Pesci. Again, it's all very, even the dying of old age is unceremonious because it's just because
it kind of is.
Yeah, they're in prison. They don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, all their friends are dead. And then, and then they just die. Yeah. It's bleak.
Yeah. It's
but really good.
But a very good film.
I didn't leave this movie feeling bummed out.
No.
And I think it's because, again, they're kind of monsters.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of watching and like, I don't know. I was really like impressed by the storytelling. So I spent the movie just like when it ended, I was just like, oh, fuck yeah. Because of that shot.
It's an excellent shot. Yeah.
Yeah. A lonely old man. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that old guy.
Woo!
He's going to die filled with regret.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's a sode.
All right, guys, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to us talk about this epic movie.
Yeah, if you're interested, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac, and a bunch of other tiers. Check that shit out.
And we just added a new tier. We're trying out a new tier where you can produce... Hypecast, right? You get shout out on Hypecast.
You get a shout out on Hypecast and you get merch. I think there's a mug right now. I'm trying to figure out how to do like a regular merch thing where like every 3 months you get a, like a fucking thing. But right now we got a mug with Sheev on it.
A Sheev mug. Emperor Sheev Palpatine. Mug.
Yeah, which
Sheev.
It's weird because I don't know. If you got into us through the podcast, you're going to know what the fuck that
you're
means.
You're not going to know what the fuck that means. Yeah, that's true. That's right. That's from
we're
the Twitch
working
channel.
On. We're going to get a logo going soon because we have our logo, but I think we're going to try to get a more snazzy logo and then stick that on some shirts and maybe a mug for that. Mm-hmm. Make that a tier. So keep your eyes open.
Speaking of which, we got a store at tvlic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed where you can check out all of those items like t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, whatever you want. It's there. Look at it. Put your eyes towards it.
Yep.
Do that.
Do it.
Fill your eyes with the light that radiates from the screen when you visit that website. Just pour that radiation into your skull holes.
Yep, until that's all you can see.
Until it's all that possesses you.
Mm-hmm. Let us possess you.
Behind your eyelids, CRT Public Store.
Put us inside of you.
Yes.